But while I'm here, Keith, I just want to say thank you to everyone who's wished me well in the new position that was announced there at the weekend.
Yeah.
The response has been overwhelming. I've been very humble and very taken aback by it. And I'm really looking forward to putting a lot of work between now and the 15th of April so we can keep Goa Talks going very well and bring it to new heights from the 15th of April as well.
I was listening to you last week and it's only going to go into higher heights. Really well done.
And that was a chest infection, so hopefully it'll be we won't have that to contend with from the 15th of April. So yeah, looking forward to it.
I take it you're going to have your in-house doctor just to keep you ticking over on an ongoing basis.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of potions and lotions, so yeah.
Keeping
the voice and keeping
everything. Well done, congratulations. And we'll talk a lot more about it before the 15th of April.
Thanks,
Keith. From there. Congratulations, John Morley, and well done to all involved in that process as well. And Keith, I'm a bus driver with CIE and I just noticed that the bus lane on Foster Street was blocked off with cars all weekend. No sign of anybody from the City Council to come and move them. It's a disgrace from there. Why were they there? Were they not ticketed or otherwise? Anyway, let me go to Joshua Byrne, who sits opposite me today, our colleague, and we're looking at trending matters today. Joshua, morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us today. Now, EU rules on artificial intelligence, we're back to this. It took effect on Thursday, the 14th of March, so it did from there. What's the thought process on this, can I ask you?
Well, so the lawmakers in the EU have, they've put rules on track to take effect later this year. So MEPs voted overwhelmingly in favour of the Act, and this is something we've talked about before, like regulations.
It going to tidy it up and make it? I mean, we see what's going on with the royal family and artificial intelligence and all that goes with it. Is there a way of just smartening it up so that it can be used when it needs to be used and then can't be exploited?
Yeah, so basically the law, what it's going to do is it's going to ban certain high risk, the EU has deemed certain, you know, AI activities high risk, and it's going to ban those. So one of them would be social scoring systems. So this has been talked about before in kind of the AI sphere, where these social scoring systems that are now going to be completely banned by the EU. But if you look at China's proposal of them, it was basically a social scoring system where, say, like, if you donate blood, if you donate to charity, you basically, your social, I suppose, points go up, which is just, you know,
But then where does GDPR lie in all of this? I suppose if you want to make a donation of blood or money or anything, or a kidney, if you want to do that, that's private to you.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's welcome that that it's going to be banned and we're not going to see it in EU countries. But yeah, so honestly, I wouldn't be the best to say how AI would even do that, but luckily we don't have to worry about that in the EU. So then some types of predictive policing are going to be banned as well. So that's profiling location and past criminal behavior and using them along with AI algorithms to basically predict crimes, or maybe if a crime has already happened, to find a suitable culprit, I suppose. And as well, emotion recognition systems in schools and workplaces. So that's AI technology that basically uses algorithms to detect different emotions on your face. Now we know our phones can pretty much already do that because you have facial ID on your phones. And sometimes, I could be wearing a hat and it doesn't recognize me and stuff like that. So it picks up on differences.
That's a good security measure though.
Yeah, big time.
A very good security measure, yeah.
But just, I suppose, in the workplace and stuff, it's probably welcome that that's not, I suppose that would maybe be used for, to see employee morale and stuff like that, whether the employees are happy. But I think that's just a bit of an invasion of privacy, so probably welcome as well that that's not going to be used in the EU.
Oh, okay. I couldn't handle it at all, to be honest. So, Joshua, let's move on though, because I was reading myself over the weekend. Indeed, Apple's new MacBook Air M3 offers some major improvements coming in the way.
Yeah. So this basically the M3 is it contains Apple's most powerful chip yet. So the M3 has It's 15% faster than the M2, pretty much. And I know the M2 was hugely, hugely popular, especially among workers and people working from home. This was a go-to, really, if you were a fan of Apple as opposed to the Microsoft laptops. So you have great battery life, 7 to 8 hours daily use. So, you know, your working day is covered. Hopefully your working day is covered. Mm. And if you had an M2, you'd be used to the slim and light design. And they've kept pretty much the same outer shell for the M3. Superb build quality, as we've come quite accustomed to with Apple. Yeah. You know, it's quite a robust model, which is always good. A few cons. There's not really too much changes from the M2 model in the great scheme of things. So, you know, when we're talking about who should buy it, we're probably saying, you know, if you have an M2, I probably wouldn't splash the cash on the M3, just because of Look, there's improvements there, but is it worth, you know, splashing €1,350 on the 13-inch model, and then you're going up another €300 for €1,650 for the 15-inch model? So
all depends on the work that you're doing, and if it's an integral part of your work, it makes your life easier. You make decisions on that, but if it's purely for recreational, you make decisions on that then also.
I mean, if you're looking at high quality audio editing, if we're in a workplace like this, or you're doing, you know, video editing, any sort of content creation that requires you to do it at an extremely high level, the M3 is definitely somewhere to look, because one thing about it as well is it actually supports two external monitors. So you can have two HDMI ports with two monitors, and you can actually have your laptop closed. So then you can work away on your keyboard and mouse. And it's pretty much giving you...
And two external screens?
Two external screens.
That's right. With the lid closed?
With it closed, yeah. Yeah, which is... it is an advantage. And it's funny, actually, to think that, previous... Apple laptops couldn't do that up until now, because you think it's quite a relatively simple thing, but with your laptop, yeah, it's pretty much the first Apple one to be able to do it, which in the workplace would be a huge advantage, you know, especially like that, if you constantly have, you know, 20 tabs open and stuff like that. Like myself, I'm very bad for closing my tabs, so sometimes my laptop can get a bit slow. If you're doing kind of, you know, high volume work and stuff like that, where you're constantly opening tabs and stuff, and you're using software that requires, you know, high specs on your laptop, then yeah, it's definitely one to be looking at. But pricing wise, like I said, €1,350 for the 13-inch. €1,650 for the 15-inch. That's current Irish prices.
Is the display any better on it?
The display is mainly the same. It's faster. But the display, like with the actual display of the laptop, if you're not using external monitors, would be relatively the same, because the outer shell is mainly the same. They've not made much changes to that.
Interesting, so it is, and let's see from there. Then, if you were to go now, make a decision to buy, can you still buy the M2?
You can, yeah, you can, and the price will be, because the M3 is out, the price will go down. I don't have a price for the M2 to give out.
But it's still available, though.
Still available. I wouldn't like to give a ballpark price, in case I'm miles off it.
All right, listen, well done to you. It's interesting. And the MacBook Pro M3 then, again, offers that brighter display, perhaps better speakers and more ports for other bits and pieces as well. But, and can you get a docking station for them, do you know?
I'm not too sure, to be completely honest with you.
I know you can for some of the Androids. You can get a docking station. Right, Joshua Byrne, thank you, Dave, for joining us today on the programme. And again, for Trendy Matters today, keep it up. And thanks for joining us today. Quick commercial break and we're back just after these. Helen from Evergreen joins us next. Stay tuned for that and more to come.
Good health naturally with Evergreen Health Foods. Kickstart your health journey with Evergreen Health Foods. With 8 Galway-based stores, a healthier you is just around the corner.
All right, good morning to you. Helen from Evergreen joins me in studio this morning. Helen, good morning. How are you today? Thanks for joining us today. Again, we're looking at what's best to take for ongoing sinus problems after a cold and antibiotics, and there's still a lot of colds out there.
Yeah, and the like knock-on effects after a cold, so the sinuses and the sore throats and the tiredness. So what we would do with the sinus issue really is we might look at a herb called plantago. And what the plantago or plantain does is a decongestant. It's anti-inflammatory. It's really good for that whole ear, nose and throat area. Helps to clear it all out, reduce inflammation and might kind of get you on the road, because your sinus issues can be a problem for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Mm-hmm. So especially at the end of a cold, antibiotics, you'd be kind of fed up with it really. So we might go with the plantago, or we have a thing called mucotone that's really popular as well. Bit of garlic, cayenne pepper, bit of ginger and loads of water. And just a bit of patience and see. But if you find that the mucus there in the sinuses is kind of going to be green or a bit yellow, go back to the doctor and get it checked out. Mm. But yeah, kind of, it's at the end of the season now. We're kind of hitting hay fever a little bit. So that might kind of be maybe partially kind of due to that. But yeah, could be something like that might help.
Hay fever, yeah, because the grass is growing again and people are cutting the grass now. Yeah. So it's,
you see the trees this time of year would be like, this very start of hay fever season would be the tree pollen. And you can see the birch trees are starting to sprout a little bit. Mm-hmm. But last week we had people coming in, kids, like in the last, I suppose they'd be outside playing or maybe training or whatever. But yeah, last week was the first week now, it's early this year.
Wow.
So if you're feeling a bit nasally or a bit like tired in the evening times, you feel like there's a bit of an itch, you're like the nose, you want to rub the nose off your face. Maybe it's hay fever.
Mm. Another caller was on to us today. Is there anything that would help speed up healing from a sports injury?
Yeah, again, certain times of year, people are back training. The cyclists will be out now soon as well. Back football, the gym, and strains and sprains, and you break this and you pull that and you tear this. And the diet here is really important. Lots of fluid, lots of protein, vitamin C, because it's going to take what it takes. So alongside with recommendations, alongside what your trainer or physio has suggested, because rest is really important and, you know, slow kind of getting back into it, would be maybe like some gels. We have a whole big section in all the stores of gels that will really help kind of with your discomfort and inflammation in that area while you're healing. So CBD gel, which basically is a local gel, and that's really good for pain. Or you might go with a bit of comfrey oil. So there's loads of options. And call in to us and we can see where, what symptoms you have that might help. But we have loads of options there. And then the other thing is maybe bromelain. And bromelain comes from pineapple. And what that will do, it's really good for, is facilitating like injury healing. So we've joined kind of complexes that would have bromelain in it anyway. But bromelain, the two Bs, bromelain and boswellia, and they may help speed up the healing or maybe give you a bit more comfort while you're kind of going along that healing journey, because it can take a while. It could be a couple of months, couple of weeks, a year. Mm. So lots of water, lots of protein, vitamin C, and do what you're told. If you're told to rest, rest. If you're told to exercise gently, do that as well.
CBD seems to be a big product now. It's a big push on it. How long would it take to get effective from the CBD cream?
So the CBD gel is actually made locally. It's a Galway company, and the feedback is unreal for pain relief and for inflammation. But it'll help with kind of, you can get CBD internally. I find the gel, people come back saying, listen, that gel's working really well for me. So it should be pretty instant, because if you want a bit of relief, obviously when you're putting a gel on your, or a cream on the area that you've got pain or discomfort, you want relief straight away. Mm. So that's kind of pretty quick.
All right. Somebody else has answered and said, I've been recommended to take lutein as my eye health is deteriorating. Have you ever heard of it, or is there anything else that might help?
Yeah, lutein is a carotenoid, so basically it's an antioxidant. And people come into the store and they've been to the opticians and maybe the eye health isn't amazing, or it's degenerating slightly or deteriorating slightly. So the optician will put them on the lutein and they come in, they're a little bit panicked, because obviously you want to mind your eyes and your eye health is really important for quality of life as you get older. So the lutein is really good one to start off with. It's actually in your, like the retina, in the macula, along with kind of another carotenoid called zeaxanthin. So So they're really important to protect the eye, to protect the degeneration of the eye. It's anti-inflammatory as an antioxidant. So they're two massive antioxidants. They come from like green veg, and they come from like your peppers. All those yellow and orange and red veg would and fruit would be high in carotenoids. They come in capsule form. Ours come from marigold flowers. And while you're at the lutein and the at the zeaxanthin, you'll get other kind of nutrients that are really important for eye health. And buy it in a complex. So you can get lutein by itself, or buy it with the zeaxanthin, buy it with vitamin C and zinc and bilberries, and you get some nice options just to maybe protect those eyes, those really kind of those eye, the blood vessels are really susceptible to damage, especially by like high sugars or high fats or just, you know, UV light or the blue screens. And what I like to see, the lutein is a bit like of a like a protector against UV light and against the blue screens. Kind of mines your eyes, so it kind of slows down the degeneration, deterioration. And it's, why not? Try it and see how you get on. You know, it's nice to be able to do something for yourself.
Lutein.
Lutein, yeah.
L-U-T-E-I-N, for further details there. Now, teenage daughter struggles with lots of symptoms during her cycle. Is there anything that might help her better manage this and feel a little bit better?
Yeah, like people can struggle for years and be very debilitated. And when they come into us, we go through what their symptoms are. But generally at that age, we'll give two things. We'll either go with the magnesium vitamin B6 together. A lot of feedback and a lot of information out there where it's really good for the anxiety part and good for maybe the irritability, the moods, water retention, bloatiness, that kind of thing. Or we have a thing called the period plan, which basically has all those nutrients in it as well, with omega-3, and it would have your D and your Bs. So either magnesium B6 or the period plan, one of those two, and 2 or 3 months, and get it into your cycle. And the effects and the feedback is really good. The diet. Watch your sugars, watch your coffees, bit of exercise. Obviously, if you take a supplement, like your magnesium B6 or your period plan, and it makes you feel a bit better after maybe a month or so, and you see kind of differences, then you're more in a place where you'll adhere to maybe diet choices and stuff. Mm. But yeah, it can be a bit of a struggle. And it's just a case of it's your cycle, and it's not just about the first couple of days in the month. And you want to kind of be familiar with it and go with it, you know?
Mm. Again, it's challenging, but I mean, there's evergreens everywhere, so they can pop in and...
Yeah, and we have, it's one of the most important sections of our store, so we have lots of feedback and places where we can point you at. Mm-hmm. And it's very simple, there's lots of nutrients to make things function better.
Now, again, I don't understand the next question, so if I give it to you, can you...
Yeah, sure, go for it.
Untangle it. Does evergreen stock a parasite cleanse that I could take? What's a parasite cleanse?
A parasite like would be like an organism that like exists in your body, like lives off you. So, for example, the most common one in store would be like worms. Like, you know, if you have like a household pet or maybe undercooked maybe pork or undercooked seafood or contaminated water. Actually, I had someone lately who got it from maybe swimming and she got contaminated water. She got a parasite from it. And people can have parasites and it can be not even know they even have it. It can go within a month. Some kind of find symptoms can be a little bit aggravating, or they're obviously very, if you have worms, it's obviously obvious. So what we would do is a thing called citricidal, and it's grapefruit seed extract. It's an antifungal, antibacterial, antiparasitic. We've kind of a parasite complex that would have thyme in it as well. But come into us, we have a couple of options, and it's really important too that when you go on an antiparasitic or things that kind of clear out whatever you don't want in your bowel, is you take a fiber, because you're going to kill them off and you want to get rid of them, eliminate from the bowel. So zinc would be from your pumpkin seeds, fiber, garlic, papaya seeds, which people kind of look for quite a bit as well. I presume you just get the fresh papaya and take seeds out of it. Lots of water, and maybe a week or 2 weeks on that, maybe a bit longer. And some practitioners do recommend that if you own a pet, that maybe you do something like that, maybe once or twice a year. Because obviously maybe there's some parasites from the household pets and stuff, yeah.
Wow. Or do you treat the animal and the human being?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you see, you can get a lot of that from the vet anyway, or from the pharmacy. And sometimes you're just feeling tired. Some of my customers say, I just feel tired. And then they took a bit of citricidal and maybe some fiber for a couple of weeks and they finally feel a bit better. So maybe there was something there. But people can have it all the time. It can come and go. Obviously, if it's more serious or the symptoms are more exacerbated, absolutely go to your doctor and get it checked out. But for just for basic ones.
All right. Helen, thank you for popping into us. To Helen from Evergreen. And there's a Helen in every Evergreen. So there is ever expanding right across the city and the county as well. But thanks for popping into us today.
You're welcome.
Short commercial break. We're back just after these. Comment lines are all open, and a very good morning to you.
Good health naturally with Evergreen Health Foods. A world of natural health awaits at your local Evergreen Health store and online at evergreen.ie.
And I'll tell you one thing: they wouldn't have the crew that's in this morning. They wouldn't have them in the they wouldn't have them in the Point Depot. I'll tell you that much. Three arena at this stage, but I'm joined in studios. I am by Tomasa Concha, and he's originally from County Cork, I do believe. Is it? Am I correct there?
That's correct. Yeah, Les Carlin, County Cork.
And come here, 1997. You came to
Galway. Yeah, as a Galway girl.
What brought you to Galway, girl? She led you astray, did she?
Absolutely. And to her, so.
Sorry, one second. Where did you meet?
We actually met in Dublin. We were both working in Dublin at the time. She in the HSE, and I in an accounting firm. And we both came back to Galway in February 97.
Good on you. Good. A great year for you then to come back.
It was a good year. We got married and everything that year. So
was music always in your family?
Yeah, from the very word go. Well, not so much my parents or that. I was kind of the first one. But I loved it from the minute I started when I was seven, and I was always geared up to do the BMOs in Cork. But as it happened, I had discussions that summer of the Leaving Cert, and I ended up doing the BCom in Galway of all places instead.
So you got to know Galway before 97?
Absolutely, yeah. I was in the same class actually as Ciarán O'Hogarty at that time.
Get away.
And obviously we went in different directions, but he loves his music as well, always has.
Come here, you started out, a great friend of mine indeed for years indeed was John Spillane, and you went on a writing course, did you, with John about music?
Yes, during the pandemic, people were trying to do lots of things with music. I had been doing my Cullen Musical Society, and I was looking for things to do. John couldn't gig, so he started doing these courses, and I was able to go on one of his courses. So there was 10 of us, and it was fantastic.
He's such a lovely person. I love when he comes into studio. He lights up the place, he does.
He does, and he was the exact same in the course, because everything was relaxed with him. He still got his points across, but he was well able to relax, and he said, sure, look, if it gets boring, I'll play some new songs for my new album coming up. So he was very much
showing his talent.
Exactly.
Come here, I'm going to get you to do a piece of music. What are you going to do first for us today?
I'm going to do Grand Canyon. It's from the album Deep Blue, and of all the songs, it seems to be the one that resonates with most people. It's by far the one most played. So I'll give that a bash, if that's okay.
You do, and I'm going to do my best to try and mix it here. So you take it, and I'm going to kind of mix it at the same time.
Go to the Grand Canyon, it's a cliche, I know. There's something about the world out there makes me wanna go. 'Cause it's bigger than me, and it's bigger than us. Wanna go to the Grand Canyon where that river flows. We take a left out on Angel Plain, right up to the plateau, where the rocks burn bright red and the skies are dark blue. Wanna go to the Grand Canyon. Life's all about journeys and what we do here. Life's all about seeing the smaller things disappear. Time with those we love and feeling a part of something more. And I know that these memories would not shine so bright without you.
through the air with the stars in the sky and the stars in your eyes. I wanna go to the Grand Canyon.
Beautiful, so it is. When did you write that, Tomás, can I ask you?
That was written actually in 2021 in a second group that I was involved with called Drunks in the Midnight Choir, where a group of songwriters got together from Ireland and Britain. Mm. And we give each other themes every week, and that was one of the themes.
As you sit there now, you sound like Mr. Spillane, so you do. I can see the Cork accent.
She does good accolade.
I can see the Cork accent going out, John's.
Oh, very good.
Maybe that's just when you relax with the music yourself, and it just comes from there. And do you still write? And do you still write on a monthly, weekly?
Yeah, absolutely. The group of us meet up every month online. And we give each other challenges, and each time then we write on a particular topic, and it can be anything. The second Thursday of every month, so it's brilliant.
And is there money to be made out of music now?
Not so far anyway, Keith, but I'm not doing it for that, to be honest. I was doing it because I really wanted to do the album, and after the album now I'm getting to play in the O'Donoghue this coming Saturday with... friends of mine. It's fantastic. And
that's the O'Donoghue Theatre
in the University
of Galway.
So there's one seat on the back corner still to go, so it's fantastic.
So I mean, I think capacity there is, what about, is it 100 now?
So it's great, but a lot of people are just coming to see.
And are you bringing more people on stage? Are you bringing more musicians, or are you going to do
yeah there's yourself? Six of us all together. Some musicians you probably know, like there's Micheál O'Haney, he plays a lot with Kilduff, and then Peter Tobin, who's an absolute wizard.
Yeah.
And then, so there's six of us all together.
All together. And talk to me about the album then, because Grand Canyon is what you're, and that's from the album Deep Blue. Then where can they get that? Is that on all the platforms?
It's not on the streaming yet. No, I'm just with Bandcamp at the moment, because they're very fair. I find them very, very fair for musicians. How to distribute revenue and stuff like that.
Why, without naming names, are the others greedy?
Well, I would say streamers like Spotify and stuff like that, they're necessary, but the lot of money doesn't go back to the artists, you know, who actually create the music.
Yeah, so how do you make money then? Go back to my question, if you want to make money.
It should be live, really. Your live playing would be the way to go, or else get your songs picked up by... people who are selling an awful lot of albums, you know.
Yeah, and let them take it from there.
And let them take it.
And have many people taken your music, or have you negotiated?
No, because I haven't been doing it that long. So the album is just out now, so we're at very tentative stages, you know. That's first steps, really.
Mm. And tell me where they can get the Deep Blue. Give me that again. What was that?
Bandcamp is the name of it's the kind of the distribution arm, as it were. And you can get the CDs there, the album CDs, and you can download it and stream it as well.
And take it from there then.
Exactly.
And do you gig a lot then? I know you're involved, you said you're involved with the Michael and Musical Society. You have your hands full there, so you have.
I have, they're brilliant. Like, there's 60 of us now, and we're getting ready for
60.
A gig, yeah. And we're doing, there's a lady, Emer Crehan, she's supporting Paul Brady at the moment. She's supported likes of Jack L, but she's doing a nationwide tour. And she's with choirs, and she's doing our choir in her Galway gig on the 7th of June. So we're supporting her in that. But she's also asked me to play a few songs from my own album as
well. Where is that gig?
It's in the Town Hall in Galway on the 7th of June.
Wow. You've a busy couple of days coming up then.
Yeah, it's fantastic, because we were in... I was in the Munros last Friday night, which is a different... gang again, so that was fantastic.
Were you upstairs or downstairs?
Upstairs, yeah. We were supporting the Opacas, which is a Galway band as well. And there's another band, Carousel. So it was great. It was all original music from Galway.
And do they listen? Because it can be kind of raucous. I love it, so I do, but it can be raucous enough up there.
Yeah, it can, but no. I've only been there
twice, by the way. In my lifetime.
They were very, very attentive, yeah. But look, I played the piano for years in bars, so I know how it goes. And people are out for a good night.
I think it's a great skill to have, by the way, to be able to play the piano.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I used to do a lot better, but it's great to be back doing it now, you know.
Mm.
And writing, that's always what I wanted to do.
You said back doing it. I mean, were you out of it then for a while?
I would have been, yeah, because I would have been in houses, say, renting where there wouldn't have been a piano. So I'd say like between college and when I got back to Galway. And then when I came back to Galway, I was trying to look for a teacher, and I heard Ray O'Donnell was a good teacher, so I asked Ray. Ray actually put me on to Audrey Corbett, and Audrey Corbett took me on, and she's brilliant, and she has been brilliant with my kids and everything. She's a fantastic music teacher.
She really is. Mm. What's the second piece of music you're going to do for us today, and tell me the story behind it?
Yeah, sort of. This is called Pushing Through the Door, and it was actually the first song I wrote with John's on John Spillane's course, and it has lasted the journey. Pushing through the door.
What's the story behind it?
So the story is when your first child moves out, or any child moves out for the first time. So this is kind of written nearly straight away after Alicia, my first daughter, had moved out during the pandemic. So
right. That's
what it is.
So you celebrated that by writing a piece of music?
Absolutely. Well, that's what John said. He said, write what you know. And his course just started the day after that. So.
Yeah. Pushing Through the Door. And again, this is Tomás Concha indeed, based in Mount Cullen. And in your own time there again.
You were the first to arrive and the first to leave. You left with Bowie and rumour, a pink box full of dreams. And we walked in convoy up Newtown Smith, and passing Sally Long's, where the rock gods looked on. And we were pulling along bags full of the past, walking slowly in the present, not moving too fast. And lifting your world now up the spiral staircase, where your future is waiting, a new door to walk through. In the way that you shine, in the way that you shimmer, there are echoes of older days, there are echoes of my mother. I always knew that today would come, so I made sure that I'd be there for as long as I could. And when we both closed out that old door at home, and by pushing through the new door on your own, saying that's all for now, I'll give you a call. And I don't know this has floored me, just know that it has. And I don't know why this has floored me, just know that it has. In the way that you shine, the way that you shimmer, there are echoes of other days, there are echoes of your mother, there are echoes of home, there are echoes of me. In the way you will shine, in the way you will be.
That's a beautiful piece of music. So it is, Tomás. And do you have other children as well?
Oh yeah, we're a tree, yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to write a song for each of the other three?
Absolutely, they're all in a queue.
It must be lovely. I have an idea where she might have moved to, but we won't go there because
it's
spiral staircases and all that goes with it. Yeah. So you'll write a song for each of them.
Well, the pressure's on now, Keith.
Well, I'm just setting up for you, so from there. Just come back. Somebody just rang in and said, where can they get tickets for the Saturday? You said it sold out, though, did you?
It is, but Eventbrite is probably the place where I have it. I have it all on my website anyway, and I'm up on Facebook.
So give me your website then, if you don't mind.
It's tomasoconte.com.
So that's CAFATHERINTE.
That's it, yeah.
From there.
.com,
and do you speak Gaelic as well?
Terrible. My dad is Leofa, but my own standard of Irish is awful. Really bad.
That's okay.
Can do.
Can they? Yeah, sure. Then mine isn't great, but it goes back to school. So does.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Just goes back to school. So I think it could be a school thing altogether.
So, yeah.
So to go to Eventbrite, I'm just put in TOMAFATHER, and then CAFATHERINTE. And Pearl is your official photographer today.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay,
I didn't either. you'll have to sign the release form for yourself.
Absolutely.
Listen, good luck. And the event went with the choir, the Mike Cullen?
The Mike Cullen choir gig will
Musical
be in
Society.
The 7th, and the music society will be the 7th of June. And my own concert is this Saturday night.
And this Saturday night, then, I have to go to Eventbrite to get further details from there. You have a lovely, lovely tone about you, so you have, so keep it up.
Thank you so much.
And keep really working on it from there. That's it for today. Thank you indeed for joining us today. And we're getting a great reaction. Thomas, thank you indeed for joining us. And you can stay there for a minute so you can. We're getting a great reaction, I have to say, to the Kieran Cannon news earlier on this morning where he's stepping down from politics. It's a lot of a stepping down, so there is, from politics and everything else, so there is today. Congratulations to John as well. He did a perfect job so far. Wishing you, Keith, good health and happiness in your retirement as well. And God bless, that comes from there. And other calls coming into us too, just in relation to Kieran Cannon, they came in from there. And otherwise, just looking at tomorrow's programme, we will have Valentine's Barbershop closes after 53 years in business. I'll be talking to him tomorrow morning at the programme. The Birdsong film screening is on in the Eye this coming Sunday. Motoring slot with Jerry Murphy tomorrow. We're going to have Bill and Bob Jewellery as well, and get ready to drum at the Galway Drum Show 2024. Financial advice, by the way, with Dave McCarthy of McCarthy and Associates. And men and women separated, divorced, widowed, and how are they all coping? We'll be looking at that tomorrow on the programme. And History Talks, two new books examine the aspects of prison history. Owen McCormack, the very talented Owen McCormack, joins us in studio on that. So that's tomorrow morning's programme, and much more between 9 and 12 today. Now, that's it for today, though. I have to say goodbye to you for today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow just after the 9 o'clock news. Don't forget, by the way, that if you want to go to galwaybayfm.ie and just go to the Galway Talks website, you can get each hour's programmes. 9, 10 and 11 will be there. 9 and 10 are there right now. 11 will be there in a few minutes' time. John Morley produced today. Siobhan took your comments, but from your studio, Keith Finnegan, until we talk to you tomorrow just after the 9 o'clock news, have a good and a very safe Tuesday. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.